have you not seen this? And welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This? As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I have David Lewis.
Howdy there.
And Laura Sanders.
Hello.
And we watched The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Yeah.
And how have you not seen this?
It's one of those things. I love westerns. And for those of you who haven't caught on, I'm the one who hasn't seen the movie today. So David and Laura are the resident experts.
Yeah.
On the film. I'm big into westerns. I've gotten into them a lot, especially the last couple of years that I was at college. And this is one that I actually bought, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago. Before I moved to Columbus, I bought this movie.
What?
And it's,
that's a double how have you not seen this.
Yeah,
I'm lurking in your house.
I have like, I think I've got 20 movies like that where I've bought them and I have not watched them yet because I just kind of forget that I haven't. And it's one that I've wanted to see. And it's just one that kind of kept getting pushed to the back burner. But I'm glad I watched it now because it's a fucking amazing movie.
Yeah, was you aware of its reputation before, you know, sitting down to watch it?
Yeah. I was familiar with the movie. I knew about it. Knew John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, Lee Marvin fucking being a magnificent sleazeball. Just really good. And it's just one that I hadn't got to.
Lee Marvin. Just really, I mean, just let's stop here. I know we've got John Wayne and Jimmy Stewart, Titans in their time. John Ford as well as director.
Absolutely. John Ford, amazing director.
But Lee Marvin, I think he ends up on a sort of underrated list of actors of that day.
I think that's a fair
he's
statement.
He's one of the ultimate badasses.
Oh, yeah. He's so good. And everything else I've seen him in is amazing. He actually is probably my favorite part of Magnificent Seven.
Oh, yeah.
Is his character in that film.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
I'm trying to remember who he is in that.
Is he one
of the guys?
He's the guy that throws the knives.
Oh,
I think.
No way. Is that Lee Marvin?
I think that's Lee Marvin. No, that's James Coburn.
We're going to do another
Maybe
podcast.
I'm completely wrong and Lee Marvin is not in Magnificent
Seven. I'm not sure that he's in there, but have you seen his role in the Comancheros where he plays the half-scalped man with the ponytail?
I have not seen that
either.
He
sells the guns to the Indians.
I have not.
It's a standout role.
Stay tuned for our spinoff podcast. I think that's Lee Marvin.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's just James Coburn without facial hair, to me, looks so similar to Lee Marvin.
Fair.
Like, when James Coburn's got a beard, indistinguishable. You know exactly who he is. But when he doesn't have that beard, him and Lee Marvin, very similar facial structure, very similar kind of, like, mean cowboy squint to him.
Very similar until he opens his mouth.
Yes, exactly. Definitely
Lee
different
Marvin,
voices.
Very distinctive voice.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, and like the Dirty Dozen, he can play the good guy, if you call that a good guy. He can pull it off.
But I think he plays really a good guy in anything?
Oh, yeah.
He's so
the,
evil.
He's
like I'm
the
sure
main
as an actor
dude.
He was a nice man, but I feel like he's a
Oh,
good
I don't
man.
Think he was.
Oh.
No, I feel like he killed people.
Like in real life.
In real life. That's how they cast him. That's how they found him.
Like, who am I thinking of? Machete.
Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo.
He's like the Danny Trejo.
He was really
the
Danny
films.
Trejo of his time.
Yeah, that's fair to say. And actually, now that you mention Dirty Dozen, another movie that I own, have not watched yet.
Who?
I haven't seen that one either. Invite me over when you watch
it. So, got a couple potentials for future episodes right out the gate here already.
Dustin,
I'm not sure I feel comfortable doing this podcast with you right now without more guns. That was really the theme of the night, maybe the predominant theme of the movie. Guns fix most problems.
Yeah, all problems there, as I could tell.
Second theme, bitches be tripping. Really.
Yep.
No, bitches be learning to read.
That's what
well,
I mean.
That's
but,
how they trip. Education.
But they were tripping before and after learning how to read, though.
True. But can I say, he definitely assumed he was going to marry her.
Oh,
but she never said, like, yeah, totally, we're going to get married.
It seemed like it was going that direction until that skinny-ass hipster lawyer shows up. I hate it when... I the real theme of this movie is the dork gets the girl. I say, fuck that.
No, What? How do you... Oh, are you the cowboy?
I'm more the cowboy than... I'm like
cowboy.
The dorky cowboy.
David is the Tom Donovan here.
Well, then you get all the women, babe.
I'd like to be the doctor.
You want to drunk newspaper man.
Oh man, we'll come back to Peabody because he's great. I want to talk more about this thing with John Wayne's character and Vera Miles because yeah, you're absolutely right. At no point, like they never even kiss. Like,
he just calls her pretty over and over.
Yeah,
and she calls him handsome once.
Well, then at one point, the newspaper man's reaction is like, "I just told her she was pretty." And it's like, "Oh, do I hear wedding bells?" Like, is that all it takes?
It was John a simpler Wayne, time. There wasn't so much jibber jabber and Facebook and emojis and shit.
I'm sorry,
you just
John
gave
Wayne,
her a cactus flower and then you bedded her.
John Wayne in that
is that what I'm doing wrong?
I would assume.
I need more cactus flowers.
More cactus flowers. I mean, yeah, I would definitely suggest that. But I think John Wayne in that movie is what men assume women to be in real life now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just marriage crazy, babe. Like, he was building out a second room for their family before they went on a date. Like, that's creepy stuff.
Is it safe to say in this movie, John Wayne, the kind of guy that would be considered today as a men's rights activist? Like, the kind of guy that believes in the friend zone? That kind of dude?
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that the movie was progressive in as much as the final point was, it doesn't matter if you are stronger and can shoot better, the fucking law is always going to trump you and dorks will come and take your woman. But
yeah,
that woman got hers back again when she got stabbed to death in Psycho, so whatever. I think that's
she's the one who got stabbed to death in Psycho.
Probably not, but I
no,
think so.
No.
The same face, though.
No, Vera Miles is the daughter in Psycho, I think.
Okay.
Janet Leigh
gets stabbed, doesn't she?
No, she doesn't get stabbed.
She never gets stabbed. I'm making the stabby motion.
Just so you know, podcast listeners, Dave is being sufficiently creepy right now. I'll get the stabby motion with a very pronounced burp if you want to rewind it in a few seconds.
Yeah, no, Janet Leigh is the one who gets stabbed in the shower.
Yeah,
Jamie Lee Curtis is mother. Vera Miles comes in after that part of the movie.
No stabbing, all right.
No stabbing, no.
See? She got away with it.
No violence happens to her.
Trifling bitches.
I bet if this movie came out now, people would be like, oh, this is just all about gun rights. This has some crazy agenda about how everyone should have guns and gun rights. Like, I feel like it would be controversial if it came out as a new movie.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say here.
That and the blatant racism, yes. Those two
things
are probably
sexism. Well, also, yes, the black
sexism,
man not supposed to be.
They probably have a lot to do with it.
Yep. What was your favorite line there towards the end?
Pork chop money.
pork chop money.
Pork chop money. With the old, like, dollar bill handshake, too.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Tom Donovan. We're talking about the Yankee lawyer.
Yeah, the bleeding heart liberal in the film.
Bleeding heart liberal. Is as racist as the day is long.
Yeah.
Because he does that, like, over his friend's casket. Like, you think about times where it's awkward to tip someone or, like, slip someone money. When you're both at a funeral, that's, like, extra. Be like, oh, while I see you, here's some pork chop money.
Yeah.
While we're standing over our mutual friend's dead body in this pine box.
And I'm glad that you were here to clarify that, because he just said, here's some pork chop money. I didn't know what the fuck that meant.
I thought, like, it was like an inside joke they had, like they used to eat pork chops.
Yeah, like maybe there was a deleted scene. Nope, just Jimmy Stewart being a racist
son of a
bitch.
Oh shit,
we
forgot that 10-minute pork chop scene between Ransom and Pompey.
Oh.
Do you think that the overall message that ultimately Mike is right and whoever can shoot that motherfucker is going to win is accurate?
See, the message that I took away more so than that was that sometimes the law is just completely impotent. Like, which is kind of the flip side of that same point.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But,
sometimes, like, anytime the law isn't around.
Yeah, like, and I honestly was waiting for the twist towards the end where Jimmy Stewart gets arrested for shooting Liberty Valance.
Yeah, like he arrests himself.
Yeah, yeah, like he turns himself in. He's like, I took this man's life. Like, of course, before we get to the big conceit of the film, that he's not actually the guy who killed Liberty Valance. It was John Wayne from the shadows, which, like, that's one thing I hated going into this. I knew that twist before I'd seen it. But I was waiting on it because, like, they didn't tell him right after. So I was like,
all
right, we're gonna get a flashback reveal. Yeah, and I was waiting.
But there's,
like,
a bit of a spoiler, sort of, you know, in the title itself.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not called The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance in the Leg.
Yeah, yeah.
The implication is that somebody shot
the man who shot
the
post behind
Liberty
Valance.
Absolutely. And, like, even before we get the reveal, like, I was looking for signs that it obviously wasn't Jimmy Stewart. And, of course, we get that early on because he's shit with a gun.
Oh, yeah. No
doubt.
Like, it's just a garbage shot.
Maybe he was just a left-hand shot all along and he didn't know.
And there's that.
That's because he was shot in the right arm. right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Got shot. That's for clarification for your listeners. Oh, yeah. Who didn't see the movie with?
Well, they shouldn't listen to this. They haven't seen the movie. They should watch the movie.
And then listen to us jawing about it.
Or else we just spoiled the ending for them.
Well, no, and then we did Jaws with Andy Luttrell, and he asked like halfway through, he's like, "Wait a minute, are we giving spoilers?" I was like, "Look, especially barring you, Andy Luttrell, if no one's seen Jaws, first of all, fuck them. Second of all, why would you listen to a podcast about a movie you haven't seen if you haven't seen it? Like, what? How can we talk about a movie if we're not talking about everything in the movie?
That's like like, you spoiled it by saying Liberty Valance gets shot.
Yeah. And also, like, honestly, I have no right to complain about the twist in Liberty Valance being spoiled for me, because this movie's been, what, 50 years old?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
And 50 years old 62. On your shelf.
So. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It was made at a time when they had color.
Yeah, which is a really interesting choice.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, this was what, late 60s, I think?
62, I want to say.
Okay, early
60s. It might even be before that.
Okay. It's so much better in black and white. I'm glad that they did it in black and white.
Yeah, it's really, really cool to, especially when you compare it to some of the other Westerns of that time. But yeah, it's an interesting choice when they go with black and white, when they cannot.
Yeah. And especially so soon after the color had been invented.
Yeah, you would think it's color for everything. Let's not do black and white for 30 years.
Yeah, it'd be like if Michael Bay didn't do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in 3D.
Yeah.
I'm sure he fucking will be.
Oh, absolutely. Some of the other things. Let's talk about Peabody, the newspaper man.
Peabody.
Probably my favorite character of the entire movie. Oh, he was an amazing character.
Most likable.
Good, healthy drunk.
Yep, very good drunk. Like the endearing kind of drunk, but who also clearly maybe is a little too reliant on it, but you're like, oh, we'll let it slide.
And you're like, that's your main bit, that you need booze. So
it's rare in a Western to work in two, like, serious oratory kind of Shakespearean. You had a Cassius Starbuckle. And
towards the end.
The counter there of Peabody sort of mouthing off the whole thing. Yeah. A lot of words from that Peabody.
I feel like the casting person in this movie just knew a lot of awesome people.
They knocked it out of the park.
Every little character was like, even the guy who was just trying to call to order the meeting at the end
of
the movie was like a super intense acting job where you're like, oh, that could have been anybody. And they're like, no, you, your voice.
Yeah, well, at no point in the movie are you like, you couldn't have got a better actor for this little part?
Yeah.
Like, everyone across the board.
And even Pompey, who was, a football player, a star football player at the time.
For real?
Yeah. He got in to sort of an altercation with his co-star, John Wayne, there.
Okay.
Because the real John Wayne was actually quite fucking racist.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's something I was wondering about when we were watching. It's like, how much of a pain in the ass was it to shoot these scenes where he's with a black guy, like, all the time?
Well, black guy has to lift him up and carry him like a baby.
The story, John Wayne gets really good and sauced up, swings on the actor who plays Pompey in real life, and Pompey just has to restrain him because he wanted the job to get paid, etc.
Exactly.
John Wayne's a real fucking prick, from what I understand.
Oh, no.
You know, an American man, you can only be in love with his cowboys, not the real John Wayne.
Most impressive scene, I think, to me, was when Pompey carried John Wayne out. Because the whole movie, I was reminded again how fucking huge of a man John Wayne is. And looks dense, too. Not like a Jimmy Stewart where it's, like, stringy. And he just carries him like he's just a baby.
Yeah.
A little cowboy baby doll.
Oh, man, on the point of John Wayne and his real-life racism, there's a great line right at the end of the movie, like, after Jimmy Stewart explains the story, and the newspaper guy, Woozy, says, like, when the legend becomes fact, you print the legend.
Yeah.
Which I think sums up, like, kind of our contemporary John Wayne, and just the way, like, we perceive the Wild West in general. Because, like, if it were more to fact, like, I've let a lot of things, like, kind of debunking, like, some of the myths we associate with it, like the gunfights at high noon and shit like that, that, like, you just assume to be so much of that culture.
Damn few of those. A lot of shooting the motherfucker in the back.
Exactly, yeah,
that's
yeah.
I will say the movie did a very good job of making people in the movie, like, pro, or making people watching the movie pro-gun, because the whole thing was, like, this man of the law, it has to use a gun. Every time I saw Lee Marvin, I was like, somebody just shoot him in the fucking head.
Yeah.
Like, he's sitting right there. Just someone sneak up behind him and shoot him in the head.
Okay, can we linger on that? Because I have to say, I think she's completely right.
Yeah.
So
that he goes around killing people.
Especially if you're in a situation where there's not much law around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When that part at the end when he beats the shit out of Peabody, like, within an inch of his life. And they know that he did it. Like, he even...
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, must have had an accident. Like, The marshal just fucking sits there 5 feet away from him. He's like, nothing, you're not going to make a canoe out of his head? Nothing?
The worst like, thing is, like, the doctor's marshal, like, though, I can't wait till you die.
In fairness, the marshal was a bit of a pussy.
Oh, huge pussy.
I mean, the marshal was pussy. The Friar character from Robin
He was
Hood,
the Friar character.
I really think it was Slim Pickens, and I wish I'd looked it up before we started, but I think that he was played by Slim Pickens, who's an amazing character actor, and he's been in plenty of...
It must have been. I thought Slim Pickens was a singer.
But I think he might have been as well. But I mean, like, because you got Slim Pickens, I'm trying to think of all this stuff. He was in Dr. Strangelove, 1941, yeah. Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles. Like, that must have been Slim Pickens.
What's that?
Must have been Slim Pickens.
I think it was. I really think it was. It sounded like Slim Pickens. Or it sounded like somebody doing a really goddamn good Slim Pickens impression. So
what do we think of this poor, impotent, front-butted lawman?
I mean, I think that he should be fired.
Fired as a lawman?
As a lawman. Oh, he's not a lawman. And also,
it's
like...
It's a very thankless job.
He's not absolutely. All the time. He has 8 kids at home. Like, you have... He's just a bad dad and a bad lawman.
Yeah,
that's why
like,
we need masculinism or whatever. You're, I mean, just assuming that because he has 8 kids at home, that he can't do his job... That's sexist.
No, I'm saying that he is both bad at his job, but seems to spend his day wandering around town being bad at his job rather than ever being home with his kids.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, he's both home and never good at his job. If he was good at one of them, I could say, oh, that makes sense. You're busy doing this one thing that you're good at. That's why this other thing suffers. But he's just... Yeah. All he does is eat steaks.
And that... Honestly, I think this movie is the best that I've ever seen, like, the ineffectual lawman trope done.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It crops up in Westerns so much, but Slim Pickens, or maybe Slim Pickens, whoever it is, knocks it out of the park in this. Like, he's really good. Like, he's likable, but you're also like, why won't you fucking do something?
Yeah. Well, especially considering that in the real Old West, you just shoot a motherfucker in the back. You don't have to arrest the guy.
Exactly.
Just, like, go behind him and shoot him in the head.
Use your murder wand that you keep on you.
And that's the other thing, too, is, David, you might be able to tell a little bit more about this, since it was, like, pre-statehood, even. Like, bounty hunters, was that a thing that existed before statehood was established out there?
Oh, yeah, you have bounty hunters.
So, how was there not a price on Valance's head?
Because he was essentially a bounty hunter,
yeah, that's
too.
True.
Okay.
Guys
like that
by
would
the
be.
Fancy boys.
Yeah, a guy like that would be just kind of an all around hired gun mercenary, bounty hunter, just kind of makes his way by being meaner than other people.
Okay.
You had a lot of guys like that in real history, like Wild Bill Hickok, who's well known for being a lawman, but was a criminal as much of the time. Same is true of Wyatt Earp and some of these other sort of.
Yeah.
Now famous through Westerns, lawman.
Okay.
I didn't think of it. I think it's the bystander effect or something, but that's something this whole movie that was driving me crazy too. Because Liberty Valance would be in a saloon with 50 people that hated him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you can just attack, like, you can all get him, guys. He doesn't have to bully, like, all 50 to 100 of you at once.
Yeah.
A movie.
He had a whip, Laura.
I know, but they could have bought a whip. Like, there was a leather man in town that could have made a whip.
Yeah. So you're saying the townspeople should all have got whips.
And whipped him to death.
Beat him down.
Or guns would probably also work.
Yeah, I'm gonna say an eye for an eye, all
I'm
that.
I'm saying for, like, dramatic purposes, though. A whip.
What?
Or, like, he goes to the bathroom, just fucking take his whip. Like, there's so many ways to do
it. He had it, like, last...
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, like
a
wrist,
clutch.
Yeah.
Little
it was a nice whip, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was decorative. It seemed like you probably got from Indians.
Yeah, and that was interesting. That was, like, his trademark weapon, too.
Yeah,
I like that you mentioned the bystander effect of the thing. Like, he even has that line when they have the general meeting for the election where he says, like, together they're all strong, but, like, do something they're going to regret when they're alone. I was like, you're together now, fucking kill it.
Yeah,
like, he just called you out as, like, a collective.
And said, I'm going to come to your house and murder you.
Yeah.
When you're alone.
Like, that's intense.
The thing is, a character like that wouldn't really exist in real life, because I don't think the bystander effect really... It might happen, like, in a moment, but at some point, you have a town, and he's a motherfucker, and they're gonna be like, alright, everybody, let's go kill him now.
Yeah.
So you plan it together, and you go hang him or kill him or whatever.
Well, not like 1 minute after Valance gets killed, his two fucking lackeys are there with a rope, calling to string him up. I was like, these two are fucking cowards. They run with a murdering coward. Like,
yeah.
How are they brave when, like, it's been made clear that no one's putting up with their shit anymore, but it took so long for the town to just say, oh, yeah, we should probably kill this guy.
Yeah, there's this amazing like black and white. It was Martin Sheen when he's an absolute baby, called The Incident. It's a short film where like these two dudes on a subway terrorize the entire subway car, and it's just like an hour of that happening, and like enough people on the subway could stand up to them and overpower them, but it like just keeps not happening.
Yeah.
Because everyone just keeps hoping that they're not singled out. And that, like, this movie makes me want to rewatch that movie. And I'm not violent, but when I watch movies like this, I'm like, just shoot the motherfucker in the head. He's right
yeah,
there.
Absolutely.
That's not entirely true. She's kind of violent.
I mean, but I don't promote it for other people.
Those are different things. I mean, you would probably, I mean, I think you'd be immediately overpowered and killed if you tried to do anything, or even to rally the subway car or whatever. But I feel like you'd probably try.
Well, because I've seen these movies.
That's probably what it is.
So I'd be like, all right, I'm going to stand up to you, Martin Sheen.
I saw Death Wish once. If Charlie Bronson can do it, so can I.
I tried to get you to mace that guy.
I know, I didn't want to. I'm a total ransom. I don't want the blood on my hands. I just want it to get done for me. I'm a politician.
I feel like that's all almost everyone in this movie except John Wayne was.
Yeah,
like, that entire town, they were like, well, somebody should do something. Not me, but somebody else.
Well, you know, God gives you that speed with a gun. That's not something you can get with practice.
Oh, absolutely.
And everybody in the town knows that. So they're not going to sit around wasting their time practicing shooting a gun.
Because
only
fair point.
God gives you that ability.
He could have shot Liberty Valance so much sooner, though. Opening scene of that movie could have been John Wayne just fucking shooting Liberty Valance.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
It would be a bad movie, then.
Very shitty movie. Probably not a movie at all.
Probably not. That's why we all would not have seen it at that point. It would have been a very short scene.
This is a weird thing that sticks out to me. And you don't see it in, like, I feel like Westerns from, like, the Sergio Leone ones on. But the first scene when we meet Liberty Valance and his gang robs the stagecoach, they're all wearing matching trench coats.
Mm. Oh, I did see the duster thing.
Like, and that's, yeah, like, the matching dusters, it's so weird to me. It's like, did they all go and buy their uniforms together?
Well, they probably all wore the same coat because there's only one fucking coat available in that town.
But at the same
coat
time,
store had a pretty limited selection.
But they're like all in immaculate condition. Like,
they were
also where
criminals.
Were their horses?
Yeah,
I wondered that. Did you all wonder that? Just like skirting back in the
like
rocks
they were
like lizards.
Yeah,
tied up far away because when you're hiding to hide a. Like, when you're sneaking up on a stagecoach to rob them, you don't want, like, a bunch of horses just tied to trees.
You don't really sneak up on a moving stagecoach. You ambush it.
Yeah.
But they did ambush it, but from behind the rocks with their weapons. So if they were, like, on horses, the stagecoach could see from far away, like, oh, there's a bunch of dudes on horses. I'm going to fucking turn the stagecoach around.
I'm just saying, as a frequent viewer of Westerns, I'm used to my villains getting on a horse and riding away after they fuck somebody up.
Oh, yeah. You don't like them scrambling around?
Well, and also, it makes a lot... What if you get, like, that one out of a thousand, like, crazy stagecoach drivers, like, no, I'm going to outrun these guys. He could have easily outran them.
Through there. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He could have gotten away.
Shotgun? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
The second a guy pops up, fires a warning shot, that's the second you fire a return shot into the guy that fired the warning shot.
In his face is why you have that gun.
That is
your whole purpose up there, is to take a shot and let him get you out of the fuck away.
That is true that his only job was shotgun guy at the front of the stage coach.
And he couldn't even do that right.
Next time he calls shotgun, probably not going to get it.
Yep.
Probably going to be in the back seat.
You ride in the back, we'll get the pussyfoot lawyer to man the scatter gun up front.
Or even the widow woman.
Yeah, anyone. Yeah.
Anybody would
like,
be
she
more
put up more of a fight
she
than...
She did.
Her and the fucking bleeding heart liberal lawyer put up more of a fight than the guy with a shotgun.
Disappointing.
And neither of them were armed.
Very disappointing.
They also, a lot of fucking guys for a stagecoach job. There were like 8 of them.
That makes sense
also,
because you assume one motherfucker has a shotgun.
One motherfucker. But,
the other guy's probably got a gun too.
But they, that's, okay, so that's 2. But, like, they attack
many of them. And also, what happened to them then? Because then whenever you saw Liberty Valance...
It was just those
two
guys.
Sidekicks.
Yeah.
He's the
so like
Destiny's Child.
Like,
they took their cut and they wised up.
Yeah, like, it was like a one-off job.
There's
no way that they made... Any of them made out decent on that job, though.
No, there wasn't nobody in there. But the cash box.
The cash box, but still, what? 8 ways? And I'm sure Valance probably takes a bigger cut because he's leading them.
Not if I was in that gang. Like, buddy, we're gonna do this pirate style, equal shares.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe they put up a fuss and Valance put him in the ground. I mean, it seems like the kind of fucking move he would pull.
You mean like to shoot him in the back and take their share?
Oh yeah.
Why would you shoot the, like, regular sized dudes and not that skinny little dwarf who giggled all the time?
I don't know why he kept fucking.
Oh my god, that, fucking Charlie. He reminded me of
name. Did you catch his name?
No, he just reminded me of Charlie from Always Sunny.
Oh yeah, yeah.
If Charlie was evil.
Was an evil cowboy.
Yeah.
That guy reminded me from of a Salacious Crumb, who is the little rat Muppet thing from Return of the Jedi that cackles all the time around Jabba the Hutt. It's like he was that guy, but as a cowboy. That's all he was.
A really creepy little toad.
Yeah, yeah.
The other guy was like just the quiet, handsome.
Yeah, Lee Van Cleef. Just
fucking Cleef.
Yeah,
and he
was also in High Noon. Is exactly the same. Yeah. Quiet, angry cowboy henchman.
And he has what two real lines in the entire movie. Yeah. And
I feel like his heart wasn't in it. I feel like he didn't want to be in that.
He was so happy to be that character. You kidding?
No, I'm not saying the actor. I'm saying the character like didn't want to be as evil as he was.
Maybe this.
Like I think he was a better guy than the other two, and that's why he always stopped Liberty from whipping people to death.
Yeah,
he was always the one to be like, "Hey guys, please stop jerking off over this almost dead body. Can we just move on? I just want money."
I love you mention that because he stops him from beating the guy to death. But then he takes a few steps back and immediately starts smashing a chair.
He's more into like the property end of it.
The property damage. He doesn't want blood on his hands, though.
But not people.
Can we all, though, except for Laura, I guess, agree that it's amazing that Sergio Leone saw these old westerns like, not you, Lee Marvin, but you skinny, sallow-faced fella there.
Yeah.
You're going to be my lead villain in a few.
Man.
He's a great actor.
Oh, yeah. Lee Van Cleef's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And especially in those movies. Especially in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Like, fucking phenomenal.
Is he one of the three?
He's the bad.
Okay.
Yeah, he's so good. Yeah. Very good.
He is a beautiful man.
Yeah, it's him, Clint Eastwood, and Eli Wallach.
Who's in The Magnificent Seven for real.
Yes, yes. He's the leader of the bandits.
Leader of the bandits, yeah.
Is Eli Tuco?
Yes.
Okay. When you are not Tuco. I am Tuco.
But yeah, that's a fucking amazing movie. And then Laura's never seen it, so I'm sure we'll do that one in the future.
I would love to see that, because then I wouldn't have to take so much crap from Dave. We should break into Justin's apartment to watch The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, because he has that big TV.
That would be nice, yeah.
I support that.
Our TV is the same as yours.
Yeah.
So, anytime.
Yeah, also, I have to commend you personally. This isn't a side. This isn't necessarily part of the podcast or nothing, but it takes a sort of balls to invite multiple people over to your house for, like, a film podcast and show us a movie on that piece of shit you got on your head. It's so small, my eyes are still watering from watching that
damn movie. Then you're not distracted by all the glamour.
I felt rude because I'm sure the speakers are small and shitty, but I couldn't hear parts of the dialogue over the sound of me eating potatoes.
No, that's how I was just waiting. I was like, am I the only one that's experiencing this right now?
Jimmy John's potato chips are the loudest thing you can do during a movie.
Yep.
Also, it was kind of nice to see your pals from whatever video game pop up there on the Xbox. Live.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They gave us a pretty dramatic like, moment.
So-and-so is online. I want to find a way to turn that off, because it's frustrating.
Is that Game of War, or Lord of Metal, or shit?
Lord of
the regular,
Metal?
That's not the...
Are you a dad? Metal. Did you suddenly become Justin's out-of-touch dad?
Metal Gear 3.
Are you playing Lord of Metal again, Dustin? Get upstairs and make some dinner.
I have recently played a video game. Fairness, and it was Red Dead Redemption. And
yes, amazing video game. Amazing game.
I do call it Cowboy Game.
I want to go play Cowboy Game.
That's fair. That's exactly what it is. It's fucking amazing.
Just like we used to call the show Hell on Wheels Cowboy Train Show.
I'll ask you guys about that after we're done with this. I will seriously start talking to you about that show. So that was the timer. One last thing I want to talk about before we wrap it up.
Half hour conversation.
Yeah, pretty close. Well, 28 minutes so far.
I'll be damned.
One thing I want to talk about before we wrap it up: the last 4 or 5 minutes of the film, after they leave Tom Donovan's coffin, and they're on the train. That scene, it was such a graduate type ending, where. Was it? He asked her who put the cactus flowers on, and she's like, she did. So, clearly she's still kind of carrying a torch for John Wayne's character. And then, they're both happy for a second, and then just, this kind of, look of just uncertainty washes over their faces. And then it cuts to the train driving away, and that's the end of the movie.
Well, before like, the guy says, oh, anything, nothing's too good for the man who shot Liberty Valance.
Exactly.
Not you, motherfucker! That was not you!
Yeah,
that
yeah.
That was too good for John Wayne.
Who's now either. Dead and poor and yeah. loveless.
And he's stuck intense. With that lie, because the truth isn't going to get told, because the newspaper guy's just like, nope, we're going to print the legend.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
It's part like, of my job every day, I'm telling people, I'm sorry, bud, I got to print the legend.
Yeah. Like, it's such a twist of the knife, that ending.
It's hard, though, because, like, they seem really sad the whole time.
They
but
do.
Also, like, they are sad because their friend just died. So even if, like, if my, I mean, I had a shitty first boyfriend, so this isn't a good example, but uh-huh. if I had a first boyfriend that wasn't a piece of shit, and then later he died, I would still, like, sad and a little like, oh, I wonder about what would happen if like, we ended up getting together. So I feel like it's a little, like, heavy hand. Like, they feel those emotions heavier than I bet they do in their daily lives.
Oh, yeah.
Lives.
I feel like everyone in this whole movie is just sad from start to finish. Like, even before the funeral, like when John Wayne walks in on them after Valance is killed. And, yeah. like, she's sitting there tending to James Stewart. And, like, he kind of sees that. But then, like, she kind of, like, is clearly conflicted on yeah. it. And then, like, when James Stewart...
She's licking the blood off his ear or whatever. yeah. It seemed like she had made her call.
Yeah, no, but then the second John Wayne, like, walks in, like, she clearly, like, feels bad about it. Like, it's not like a thing that was like, oh, no, like, this was yeah. an easy choice to make.
Ransom was, like, the new hot shit. Well, because also, she lived a life where I think the only other single person in town was John Wayne.
Yeah.
Like, it just seemed like the
Where's
whole town...
Kane Tuck? I'm sure he's an eligible bachelor.
Who?
Kane Tuck.
I don't even remember.
He's a stuttery cowboy.
Oh, the stuttery guy. I feel like he was married.
Peabody.
Peabody
how about Peabody was single?
His work in the bottle.
That's very true.
It makes it almost worse that they had to that she had to decide between
yeah.
like the real for real actually a man who shoots well and builds cabins and has horses and this sniveling little lawyer fella.
Yeah.
And that makes the whole dork gets a girl angle on this even harder for me to swallow and to accept and deliver.
Well, yeah. Well, and there's such extremes, too. It's like there's no middle ground. It's not like one of them mixes both of them. It's like, nope, they're just polar opposites, these two.
Although I think what was the deal breaker for her was that he was like, she's like, he is just too much of a total sissy for me. And then she's like, oh, you got shot in the arm? Okay, I'm kind of into
you shot Liberty Valance.
Yeah.
She still believes that to this day.
Yeah.
Does she Maybe. Still... That he had to have told her.
I don't know. I don't think he would.
I don't know.
Because, like...
That seemed to be the one that clinched the deal there.
Oh, because,
like, clearly, like the guy on the train believes it. So he clearly never publicly came out and said,
well,
nope,
I,
wasn't
the
me.
Well, newspaper, it was the first time he publicly came out. But I yeah. feel like he had to have told...
I don't think he would have.
I'm, oh,
no
man.
Not
that is
like that.
I feel like that's a major question. Then.
What he would do yeah. is, like, back at his home in Washington, he'd just set up, like, cans of white paint around the house when it's time to redecorate and just shoot them onto the wall. I really want her to believe.
Yeah, it's like, no, I'm a good shot.
I think he just throws law books at them and then uses that to paint
or he
the
just,
house.
Like, sits around, like, just maybe, like, eating dinner and, like, just casually is like, hey, remember that time I shot Liberty Valance? Like, just a reminder.
She's like, can you take out the trash? He's like, oh, I'm sorry, can you shoot Liberty Valance? Oh, you can't. Yeah. I sorry, it's already dead.
Oh. All right, that was the big thing I wanted to hit before we wrapped up. Do you guys have any closing things before we wrap it up?
I kind of wish that she would have gone with John Wayne, but I understand that that's not how the plot would have happened.
Yeah.
I kind of wish I could dress like Liberty Valance every day.
Oh.
He did wear fancy
yeah.
vests.
He was...
Good style.
Oh, yeah.
This is coming from a Dave Lewis who's wearing a pretty fancy vest now.
I like my fancy vest. I mean, I ain't got silver studs and such.
I know.
I have the whip. I might get one.
That's it. Yeah, I feel like you're going to go out and buy one of those whips now that we've watched this again.
I empathize with the Liberty Valance character way too hard. Generally.
Please just don't start being a real murderer.
I'm not strong enough to. If I was born larger, I'd have been a horrible son of a bitch.
Okay, can I, and really quick before we go, I
yeah,
want to say one of my favorite quick, there's a lot of wonderful quick humor moments in this,
uh-huh.
and one of them is when the guy played hooky from the school, the adult man played hooky, and they're like,
yeah.
aren't you going to beat him up, or aren't you going to like show him up for it? And he goes, no, he's too big. And Stuart just immediately was like, I'm not, he's too big of a man. And it was like a very nice gut reaction that was very funny.
And in a little note of whimsy there, See what women do to Westerns.
Jesus. That wasn't whimsy. That was humor. You're the one talking about your silver-studded whips and your Etsy shop's vests.
Holy shit. So, something else got going on. Okay. Well, Laura, fuck it. If it runs over, it runs over. This is my fucking podcast. John Wayne wears the same outfit for the entire movie, except for the one time he shows up to the restaurant, like, in a suit and that really nice hat. And is like, oh, you're all dressed up. And his response is, well, it's Saturday. Like that's a reason to get dressed up.
That was a Saturday suit.
Yeah, like that was his response. That was so funny to me.
You don't want
to
say, "Oh, I wore my nice suit, so I got to hand you this like half rose."
Oh yeah, because he brings her the cactus flower. Yeah, or, he makes his manservant or popular, whatever he is, because like is he a slave? Like not it's a slave. It's post slavery, but it really comes across that way.
He's a servant. He's like an assistant.
Like, when he shoots Val, it's like, hand me that gun. I was like, you couldn't carry the gun down this alley?
There was a lot of that, yeah. There was a lot of that. Or just, like, Pompey, shoot that motherfucker.
Yeah.
I mean, that would like, too. Pompey.
Did you notice that even when he was shit house drunk, he still insists on driving the wagon?
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck was that about? Yeah. Pompey, drive. I'm too drunk.
Shit house.
The fact to be too drunk to drive horses.
Well, that...
That know the way home.
You don't know how hard
I'm saying that know the way home.
When Poppy drags him out of the house when the house is burning after he's gotten his heart broken and decides that a rational thing to do is to just burn down his house, he gets on the wagon and is just like, oh, let the horses go, who are all the way out here in the pasture away from the fire. Just like, oh, I guess I'll run the horses back into the wild for no reason.
Well, yeah. Smoke and all, I kind of see how wild you get the horse out.
Hey, I can see it to
a
point.
Catch fire.
But it's so far away from where it's like a good 30 yards from the fire.
It's pretty far away.
Yeah, like I think the horses were safe.
We just need to know that John Wayne's character was still
shit house
drunk.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was just a drunken mistake. He's like, get the horses out of the house.
Quick, get the houses are in the house front room.
Full of burning horses.
Well, like, when he's drunk, they're like, put pants on the cat. That needs to happen now.
Well, the horses didn't even start freaking out until he runs in there and starts whipping them to get him out of there. Like,
why are you startling? Like,
and I feel like if fire was close enough to horses, they're not hesitant about panicking. Like, they'll freak out when it's applicable. They were fine. It's like, oh, there's a fire 30 yards away. It starts coming this way. We'll freak out. But we're good for now. We're horses.
We're good for now. We're horses. Yeah.
Seems like a good place to wrap her up.
Yep. All right, cool. That's going to do it for this episode of the Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. Thank you to David Lewis and Laura Sanders for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm sure we'll get you guys on again, too. This has been a lot of fun.
Yay.
And thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.
Join us next week when Mike Czar and Lauren Benguez drop in as we go over the John Carpenter Kurt Russell classic Big Trouble in Little China, an action movie about a hero who's not really that great of a hero. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions for the show, send those to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com, and we'll catch you next time.